No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Welcome in to the Rockies Insider. I am your host, Patrick Lyons, talking about the latest in the news when it comes to the Colorado Rockies. Ryan McMahon trade rumors, are they legit? Are they not? Few more spring training transactions, guys who are not going to be around the big league complex anymore. Some 2024 minor league award winners. Ezekiel Tovar, is he going to be okay after exiting the game early on Wednesday? The Rockies in general just playing incredibly well. So many other players around MLB banged up. I'll answer any questions that you might have during the duration of the show. But let's get things started with some news that was circling the drain, if you will, last week in regards to a certain rumor out there that Ryan McMahon may or may not get traded. Now, this was reported by someone out of Milwaukee who typically makes their bones focusing on the Milwaukee Bucks, a gentleman by the name of Sean Wright, that's been featured on a lot of different notable sports outlets, ESPN, the like, etc. And this is someone that has broken news before in relation to the Milwaukee Bucks. So he certainly has credentials, certainly has plenty of journalistic integrity, right? Is this somebody that has a source within the Milwaukee Brewers? I think possibly. I certainly would not discredit someone if they were to say something that might seem a little unusual for one reason or the other. I don't think any rumors involving or regarding Ryan McMahon are unusual. This was a player that, you know, some teams were kicking the tires on at last year's trade deadline, and GM Bill Schmidt certainly did consider dealing ahead of his 2024 All-Star campaign, his first participating in the Midsummer Classic. So McMahon isn't necessarily a guy who's been perennially on the trade market, but he's a part of this group of players that the Rockies are at least hoping can take a big step forward in 2025 and then possibly contend, get above the 80-win mark in 2026. A lot has to happen this season, and much of that allotness, much of that turnaround, at least 10 wins, you have to think, for Colorado is going to involve Ryan McMahon. He still has 3 more years of team control. So I don't think it's outlandish to say that perhaps there are teams inquiring on Ryan McMahon, and perhaps the Rockies are listening to some of those offers. So what was the extent of the conversation? That is the most important thing worth diving into. The post from Sean Wright was that the Brewers and Rockies have held preliminary discussions regarding a trade that would send Ryan McMahon to Milwaukee. That's ultimately the Rockies' side of things. He continued by talking about the Brewers' side of things, saying that they feel confident in Joey Ortiz, who was really solid last year at third base, moving over from shortstop. But that the Brewers feel confident in Joey Ortiz's ability to hold down shortstop after the departure of Willy Adames to the Giants. And McMahon is very capable, a very capable third baseman with major pop. Still yet to reach the 25 home run plateau for Ryan McMahon, but still, that would be a very solid upgrade for the Milwaukee Brewers. I don't think anyone certainly would deny that. A guy that does have a little bit of playoff experience, right? He was there in 2018 the last position player still around from that club. So I think that would provide a certain amount of upgrade. Right now, they've got 27-year-old Oliver Dunn penciled in over at third base. I don't think Mark Canna, who was a non-roster invite, who signed a minor league deal, can go back and play third base again. They do have a pretty solid prospect in Caleb Durbin, who I know is more of a second baseman type, but perhaps he can switch over to third base. Milwaukee does a really good job of protecting their guys and making sure everybody is set up for success. But a guy like Ryan McMahon, more towards the middle of that lineup, behind Jackson Churio, a healthy Christian Yelich, William Contreras, Garrett Mitchell, Rhys Hoskins, and then Bryce Turang, and then Joey Ortiz, who's batting number seventh. That's a solid lineup. That is a solid lineup. So you could understand why the Brewers would be interested in Ryan McMahon. That being said, these are preliminary conversations. That can range anywhere from a little bit of back and forth. Probably not serious. I think we want to hold on to Ryan McMahon, but we did just engage in a conversation. That would be one end of engaging in talks, quote unquote. And then the other end of the extreme is the Brewers simply calling GM Bill Schmidt, president of baseball operations, Matt Arnold, calling Bill Schmidt and saying, hey, you know, do you think you might deal Ryan McMahon? And Schmidt, maybe he says, well, look, everybody's available. You know, what depends on what your offer is. Hey, let me get back to you. That's a preliminary conversation. So ultimately, I don't know that I give a lot of credence to this idea that the Rockies are going to trade Ryan McMahon to the Milwaukee Brewers during spring training. Could it happen at some point over the course of the season? Very well could. I don't think a lot of that would necessarily have to do with the success of Kyle Karros down in AA and potentially going up to AAA. I think maybe the Rockies, you know, they've been really impressed. That's one thing that Buddy has said. He is really, really impressed. The entire coaching staff is impressed with Kyle Karros and the way he goes about his business, the way he plays the game. 6'5", third baseman. He's big. He's a big guy. He was the Northwest League MVP last year in 2024. That being said, you have to prove it in the majors before you can become that guy. So I don't think the Rockies are looking at Kyle Karros going, oh man, this is our third baseman of the future. Yeah, let's just go ahead and offload Ryan McMahon. It's really not as simple as that. Karros needs to go out, produce in 2025. But another big season from him and continual emergence from guys like him, other infielders that are within their top 30 prospect rankings, not a ton. Right? Not a ton of infield prospects, mostly entirely pitchers and a lot of outfielders. Charlie Condon, perhaps. Maybe he can play a little bit of third base. But regardless, you do have enough depth right now in the Rockies system where if you do trade someone like a Ryan McMahon, you feel okay that somebody else could step up in his wake and not be detrimental to the win-loss record, because you really want to avoid losing 100 games this year. But I've said it time and time again. The modus operandi, the MO for the Rockies this year is giving as much playing time to the young players as possible so that they know what they've got going forward and they get a lot closer to having young established big leaguers rather than unestablished guys with a lot of, you know, a small amount of service time and they're getting older in their years and you still don't know what you've got and you're just mixing and matching all over the place. You need to give these guys time to establish themselves and figure out who the guys you're going to keep, who is going to move on, who are you going to trade, who's just going to get designated for assignment or non-tendered. You have to be able to figure that out. And if you rely too much on the older players on this roster, you're not going to get those answers and you're going to continue to kick the can down the road. Taylor in the chat over on YouTube, thanks for dropping in. Pretty sure Rymack has the same agent as Brook Lopez on the Bucks. And then he continues, so that journalist may have an agency inside source. Could be, right? Maybe Bill Schmidt is walking through the clubhouse saying, hey, Rymack, the Brewers, they just called me. They want you. Do you want to go to Milwaukee? Not really. You know, I'm pretty happy here in Colorado. I just donated $1 million to Children's Hospital. I kind of see myself as a Rocky going forward. All right. Yeah, don't worry. I won't call him back. We don't know. We don't know to the extent of it, but ultimately, hearing something like that, these conversations happen all the time. There was a time and place where players were put on revocable waivers, not irrevocable, like Justin Lawrence. He was on waivers, and he was either going to end up on a new team, or he was going to go down to the minors, or possibly become a minor league free agent. But revocable waivers is you kind of dangle a little treat out there, see if anyone's interested, see if anybody bites. Usually it's a player that's getting paid more than they should, bad contract. And if somebody takes this guy off your hands, you're not going to get anything back, but at least you got the contract. You're rid of the contract. But if a team that you're in the same division with ends up claiming a player on revocable waivers, you can pull this guy right back. And there was a time in which we knew nothing about that. We didn't know if and when players were put on revocable waivers. It was a practice that happened a ton. I can remember Alex Rodriguez going on it a couple times. Now, sure, he was a very well-paid player, but he was also a superstar that, you know, I don't know how much his team was really interested at the time. The Rangers, Yankees, I think he was even in the Mariners days, where that, again, that was just common occurrence. And now we know when those things do happen, when there are those revocable waivers because of, you know, the grapevine that does exist out there. So again, yeah, we know more now about the game than we have in the past, but that doesn't mean the game or the machinations behind the scenes, the business side of baseball, has really changed all that much. Again, we're just a lot more aware of those things. So would I be that concerned that Ryan McMahon could possibly get traded here in spring training? I don't really see a move like that happening. Could it go down in late June, July, ahead of the trade deadline? Anyone's guess. Anyone's guess to see what could possibly happen going forward with this team. The Rockies, the way they do business, and other teams feel this way too. But I think the Rockies look at certain veteran players. McMahon's now 30 years old. He's on the wrong side of 30, right? But the Rockies look at veteran players as being tools to utilize to help improve their young players. They don't look at veteran players as assets, quote unquote, using a lot of air quotes today. But they don't look at some of these veterans as trade assets to then bring in other young players that can contend going forward. They look at their roster of guys that they've already invested a ton into, their roster of young players, and say, how can we make them better at the big league level? Well, we can give them really good quality teammates with a lot of experience that can help coach them up, work through, you know, the business side of baseball, the travel, all the different things that go on behind the scenes that can be difficult for a lot of young players to deal with. And if you're surrounded by a lot of young players, again, that can be exciting. Those guys can then push each other and raise the level, but also, is there an adult in the room? That can get away from some teams that can be young, exciting, and flashy. So you have to have a little bit of a balance, and the Rockies love that kind of balance. So, you know, you could have a situation where the Rockies are out of it, but they're looking good to avoid 100 losses, and they simply don't want to pull that trigger and offload a guy like Ryan McMahon, even if there are other options available within the system or even on the big league roster that you could turn to and say, hey, you know what? I think, you know, we can make a go out of this, and we can bring in, you know, some really good prospects or even save some money. They tend to be in that former pool of holding on to those guys. We know that's just kind of the way that they operate. Rockies also operating earlier this week by optioning six more players down to their minor league camp. Infielder, outfielder Greg Jones, who's really been struggling. I know he was 1-for-10 going into Tuesday night or Wednesday's game, but he was optioned down to AAA Albuquerque. So he'll still have a spot in the big league clubhouse there at Salt River Fields, but he's already been optioned down. He's on the 40-man roster. And then five players who are not on the 40-man roster. Young, a lot of young players have been reassigned to minor league camp. Lefty Jack O'Loughlin, who is from Australia. I haven't talked a lot about him this spring. Infielder Ryan Ritter, outfielder Cole Carrig, and outfielders Benny Montgomery and Sterling Thompson. Colorado now has 52 players remaining in their major league camp, including 14 non-roster invites with 39 players on the 40-man roster. That number more like 51 players in major league camp that can contribute this season. Jeff Criswell, of course, got to cross his name off the list as he is set for Tommy John surgery. Not sure when that date is going to be for him, but he'll be out for the entirety of the 2025 campaign and for the first parts of 2026. Rockies also announcing their 2024 minor league award winners. So they're giving it out in March, spring training 2025, but these are awards going back to the 2024 season. Kyle Karros, of course, wins the Doug Million Minor League Player of the Year Award. As I said earlier, Northwest League MVP was outstanding. The last three winners all been really solid. Ryan Ritter, who won for 2023, got the award last year, but won for the 2023 minor league season. 2022, Hunter Goodman. 2021, Zach Veen. In the past, the winner of the Minor League Player of the Year Award include the likes of Todd Helton, Brad Hopp, Jeff Francis, Ryan McMahon. They have all won the award. Zach Agnos, a guy making some positive waves for the Rockies in camp as a non-roster invite, wins the Rick Matthews Pitcher of the Year Award. Rick Matthews, longtime coach within the Rockies organization. This is a newer award. I think that they only started giving out about 2 years ago. I want to say Michael Prosecki won that award last year. And Robinson Cancel, great minor league manager, wins the PJ Carey Player Development Award. So congratulations to all three of those gentlemen. Also on Wednesday, you might have seen, didn't see a ton of people raising a lot of alarms over this, which I think is positive because both means the player itself doing well. And also, again, no one's getting too worried. It's spring training. Things can happen in a precautionary measure. So that is the case. Brad, I am going to get to your question here in just one moment. It is a great question. If you got any other ones or comments, leave it in the chat over here on the YouTube side of things. If you're listening to this on the podcast side, you can still go back and watch any video, leave a comment in there, and I will get back to you. I get back to all the comments over on the YouTube side of things. But Ezekiel Tovar, in the first inning of Wednesday's game in Peoria, hit on the left tricep contusion. So he's got a left tricep contusion after getting plunked by Padres starter Michael King. He exits the game, but that, of course, is precautionary. It's part of the game. I know in the past, Tovar has worn somewhat of an elbow guard, elbow pad on that left elbow. Not sure if he was wearing it in that game. There, I did not see any video from it. You know, Tovar, not a player who gets hit a lot. Only four hit by pitches in each of the last two seasons. So again, this is somewhat precautionary. It's just, you know, bone bruises do happen for players. There's a lot of guys right now that have got various, you know, levels of injuries. I'll get to some of those here in just a second, but let's get to Brad's question in the chat. Appreciate you, Brad. If Nolan Jones starts off slow, talking about the regular season, he had been struggling, did have a two-hit performance on Tuesday, so he's warming up just a little bit. But if Nolan Jones starts the regular season off slow and Zach Veen is tearing up AAA, how long of a leash does Nolan have? Great question. Some of that has to do with the specifics of baseball. On paper, there's two types of paper, but in the general paper sense, you look and say, hey, this guy's not getting it done. He was banged up for a lot of 2024. So the last time we saw him, he was really good when he was healthy in 2023. 20 homers, 20 stolen bases, 19 outfield assists. He was very good. That was 2 years ago. On paper, don't you want to give Zach Veen that opportunity? Yes. But on the other kind of paper, the real paper, contractual paper, the rules, the CBA, the collective bargaining agreement, Nolan Jones has no more options left in the minors. So Nolan Jones is going to stay on the big league roster. Does he need an IL stint? You know, is he playing through an injury? Again, this is a hypothetical situation. But if he's playing through injury, maybe he goes on the 15-day IL. And yeah, you push that button for the Veen machine. You go ahead and unleash Zach Veen and say, you know what? This is his opportunity to get regular playing time and to pick up on his momentum. He's healthy. Let's capitalize on that. And then when Nolan Jones comes back, then we'll figure out what the situation is. Maybe Veen is playing a little bit more right field. And maybe Jordan Beck, when he's slumping, you stick with the hot hand in a Zach Veen. Or maybe Beck is playing DH a little bit more if Jones is in left, Veen is in right, Beck is at DH, and then Chris Bryant is just out of the lineup. These are kind of good problems to have, right? But in general, it should be noted Nolan Jones does not have any more options. So he is going to stay on that 26-man roster. Does that now mean that perhaps you don't have room for someone like a Sam Hilliard? Maybe, but you do need some veteran presence there. You know, one of the topics of conversation that I had on Tuesday, you may have listened to this on Wednesday's podcast on the Rockies Insider, but we recorded this on the Blake Street Banner channel, me and Noah Spirek, who did a great job on the beat for Blake Street Banner last summer. He'll be back again this summer. But we had this conversation that ultimately there's a final spot on the bench for the Rockies. That's really unclear who that's going to. You're going to have the backup catcher. You're going to have Kyle Farmer as your utility infielder. He can play a little outfield as well. And then Sam Hilliard's your number four. There's still one more spot on the bench. Now, it becomes difficult if you say Zach Veen is that final guy on the bench, your fifth outfielder, essentially. The problem being, you need to have some playing time for these young guys so that they can both work through those growing pains and also play through, you know, various issues that they might have. And Rockies are at a point where there's only so much playing time to go around. That's been one of the issues that they've had kind of under the radar, this fact that, sure, you've got a ton of really good young players, but if they're all arriving at the same time, where are they going to play? You know, seven or eight of your top 10, 11 outfield prospects at the end of last year were outfielders. Their arrival time is all different. It's all staggered, but you've got somewhat of a log jam, and that could, you know, hurt the development of some of those young players. That's where getting creative this offseason, which is now over, and trading from that depth of outfielders and adding to a different area of need would very much be wise to explore something like that. Yes, you have to trade one of your own guys that you've invested a lot in, but you get something back. That's how you do that. Taylor saying, who is it between that final roster spot? Owen Miller, Sean Bouchard, Hunter Goodman will more likely than not be in that backup catcher spot. Now, if Drew Romo is the backup catcher, could you have Hunter Goodman in that final spot on the bench where the Rockies carry three catchers? Bud Black did say at the beginning of spring training, no, they are not going to go with three catchers. It's twofold. One, they want to get whoever doesn't win that backup spot, regular playing time, down in AAA as a catcher. And B, because Hunter Goodman, they view him now clearly as a catcher. So if Hunter Goodman is the number three catcher, it becomes hard to balance that playing time between Stallings, Romo, and Goodman. And in theory, you can say, well, Goodman can play a little bit of first base. Michael Toley is playing every single day, every single inning. He's an iron horse in that way. He's an Iron Mike. Ooh, that's the nickname. That's the nickname. He's the Iron Mike. Or Goodman can then go out to right field. You've got a logjam in the outfield already as it is. And if he's playing in right, and he's playing in first base, he's not catching. And that's what they view him as. Stallings only has one more year left on this deal. It's a mutual option for 2026, but that is not definitively going to happen. It could happen, but it's different than if he signed a straight up 2-year deal. That didn't go down. So the Rockies very well could be looking at their players and saying, you know what? We've got Goodman and Romo for 2026 going forward. So let's get them playing time. One's going to be up in Colorado here in Denver. The other's going to be down in New Mexico and Albuquerque. So that final bench spot, I'm not really sure what route the Rockies are going to go when it comes to that final bench spot. Owen Miller would need to be added to the 40-man roster, and he provides, you know, a lot of great utility infield play, and then maybe Kyle Farmer's playing a little bit more outfield as far as utility is concerned. Sean Bouchard, they love his bat. He does still have options, but he is certainly a player that has a good at-bat, more on the veteran side of things. You know, he's on the right side of 30, but he's still, I want to say he's 28 right now. So, you know, how high is his upside? You know, if he's deserving, but again, What is your modus operandi as the Rockies going forward? Is it to give playing time to young players, or is it just to look at the 2025 season as a bottle, right? It's inside of a bottle. How do we win the most possible games this season? We're at a point in which that logic, going back to 2021, hasn't really worked out. Let's just focus on this season. You've been doing that for 4 years. And one of the reasons why you lost 100 games the last 2 years was because you were focused on 2021 in 2021, and you weren't thinking beyond that. It was a little short-sighted. So, you know, I'm not really sure where they're going to go. I would love to say Zach Veen could be that final guy off the bench, especially, you know, could be great in some pinch-running opportunities late in the game. You can get him an at-bat, or you can just, you know, put him out there, but he needs at-bats also. So that becomes somewhat of a challenge. And maybe Sam Hilliard needs that many less at-bats because he's a veteran. So you know what? If he's only playing once a week in order to give a little bit of extra playing time to a Zach Veen, okay, so be it, right? But Nolan Jones is a great defender. Jordan Beck, really solid there as well in right. One's a right-handed hitter, one's a left-handed hitter. You could have a platoon, but that's really not the way that the Rockies would operate to utilize that final bench spot as a guy that, you know, could really be a spark plug for the team. I think they want more of a role player, quote-unquote, there it is again, type, right? In the chat, my worry is they pick up a veteran late and they take away at-bats from the kids. Well, look, Owen Miller in many ways fits that mold, right? He's already there. Sean Bouchard, yeah, he's a homegrown guy, so it's a little bit different. But is he one of those young top 30 prospect types that you want to see play? Not so much. And to your point, I mean, you're right on the ball. You're right on the ball. One of the things that Bud Black said was he pointed out that, hey, late in the spring training last year, we were able to pick up Jake Cave, who they really liked. He was on the roster the entire season. You know, he provided for them what they thought was, you know, an upgrade, was some veteran presence in the clubhouse, on the field. Spark plug type too, right? At least emotionally, in a good way. Man of the people, ultimately became that. But Bud Black said, hey, you know, we could be doing that again late in the year. But again, there's a roster crunch right now, where if you look in that 40-man roster, you know, there's a couple names you could look and maybe get creative and sneak a guy through waivers, but they are at a point right now where they've got a lot of young guys. They've got a lot of prospect. They've got a lot of players with upside, and there's going to be other teams that will claim. I mean, I know there's plenty of people that think Justin Lawrence still has great things ahead of him, and I do. I think he's going to end up having a really solid season this year with Brent Strom, and, you know, starting your year off in this way where you're going from Arizona to Florida. You're going from the NL West to the Central, very much the East Coast, right? Pittsburgh is, you know, a lot of people think of it, you know, as the East Coast because, you know, in many ways it is. But that's a big shakeup for him. So this season, you know, he might be trying to catch his breath and work on some things. He might have some success. He might have some failures as well. We might not know the benefits of him working with a Brent Strom and pitching in a place like Pittsburgh has until 2026. So for as many people that are saying, hey, Justin Lawrence, I think he could really, you know, break out and succeed with Pittsburgh, there are other people that will look and say, hey, you know what? This is a guy that has struggled, and, you know, there's a reason why he was waived. And yeah, you might be able to slip a guy like that through waivers. But the guys that you might consider on the chopping block now, because of the Rockies' depth, it's getting better and better and better. And so the Rockies aren't going to be able to continue to slide these guys through waivers anymore. Bottom line, right? The depth is getting better. So they're not going to have that same luck. If they do add someone out of the blue from another team, like you're suggesting somewhat, right? Could happen. Or even if they bring on a non-roster invite, like an Owen Miller or even a Nick Martini, who's been really solid so far this spring. At Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons MLB. We're getting closer to the regular season. I've already started doing a lot more TikToks and just videos, YouTube shorts, at Rockies_insider in a lot of different places. If you're on the podcast side of things, make sure you leave a review. This is a big time of the year for people who either want to get into the Rockies or are curious about what the Rockies have going forward in 2025. So they want to learn a little bit, right? You can actually help others out there learn a lot more about the Rockies by leaving a review, 5 stars, leaving a comment. Comments go even that much further than just a review or a thumbs up. That helps me out really in a major way. So thank you for joining me. Thanks for stopping by, giving me this momentum. But of course, as I like to say, and nobody else likes to say it, I don't know why. Do they not like to have a good show going forward? But as I like to say, momentum, it's only as good as your next day's show. So of course, I'll talk to you then.